Well, as I mentioned in my email, I was able to I was able to hear your talk at ASM, and it was really interesting. And
Thanks.
I had been formulating a story for the Times about the microbiome, and your talk and several others at ASM definitely sort of strengthened my conviction that there's lots to talk about right now in terms of the science going on. I mean, I don't know from your perspective what it seems like right now, but I just find that it seems like there's a whole lot going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's really just exploded lately, this area. It's a fun time to be studying the human microbiome, that's for sure.
Sorry, another phone is ringing, but I'll just ignore it. So, how long have you been studying the microbiome?
Let's see, it's been about 10 years. About 10 years. I'm trained as a microbial ecologist and mainly study soil. So I got interested in this area when I was teaching a class, and the persons I was co-teaching with was a clinical microbiologist. And the clinical microbiologists didn't really have or weren't really using these molecular methods that the soil microbiologists were using. So that's how this collaboration started. She was wondering if we could analyze some of their clinical material, and I said sure. And then I got very interested in the area. So now about half of my research is focused on the human microbiome, and the other half is still looking at soil and other kinds of environments.
So what about it, was so interesting?
Well, I think my interest first started. I have a cousin who has Crohn's disease, and so I think, personally, I was thinking that was it was interesting to study that system in particular, but also the scientific questions. This environment is relatively unexplored until recently, which is amazing considering that it's our own bodies, a large part of our own bodies that we don't really know that much about. And I think the one of the main reasons for that is that the clinical microbiologists have really relied on more traditional approaches to study the human microbiome, like selective plate counting and things like that. So just by tradition, and that only, I mean, there's only a fraction of the microbes in your body that can be cultivated on media, or we don't know how to cultivate most of them. So therefore, we don't know most of the microbes, their identities, or their functions that are residing in our bodies. So I think that's why it's so fascinating to me. I mean, there are so many unknowns, and now we have the tools that we can really explore those communities and get an understanding of who's there and what they're doing. But we weren't able to do that just, a few years ago. We just didn't have the methods.
So have you had a particular focus in studying the microbiome? I mean, there are obviously so many different ecosystems and so many different kinds of questions that you can tackle.
Yeah, I have been focusing on the gut ecosystem, and so that's where the Crohn's disease, in particular, has been the focus. This it just started. That was the project that my collaborators were working on. We were also looking at the impact of antibiotics on the gut microbiota over the long term. And, it was, I guess, the general knowledge was that if you took an antibiotic over the short term, the community in your gut, the microbes would revert back to their normal composition. But that was, again, using these plating methods. And we found that this is the first study I worked on in the looking at the gut system. We found that even after 2 years or 4 years, you had major disruptions in the community and a huge increase in antibiotic resistance genes. So that is one of the areas I've been focusing on, and the impact of antibiotics, and also the specific disease that impacts the gut, which is Crohn's disease.
I see. So, so with antibiotics, so you would, when you say that there's this disruption, how would you, how would you convey that to sort of a lay audience? I mean, is it that there are some species that have totally disappeared and haven't come back? Or is it that simply that there are some species that are more common than before and some less? What's the nature of the disruption?
Let's see. So what we see is a decrease in the diversity. So we have fewer types of microbes. So that's the first thing that we see. And then we see a persistence of certain resistant organisms that tend to dominate. And so if you, especially if you hone in on specific members of the community, you know, there are so many different types of microorganisms that are in the gut. But if you look at specific families, you can find that maybe one resistant bacterium in that family will completely take over that family, and the other ones that are susceptible to the antibiotic will subside. And if you look at a particular clone, even that is resistant, you can find that it can last for 18 months in the or longer. In the gut, and the problem is that if you have this this resistant microbe, you know, these particular ones may not be pathogenic. You know, the ones that we saw weren't pathogens, but we also monitor the resistant genes, and if the genes are there, they can be potentially transferred to a pathogenic strain. So that's the problem. You don't want to have resistant genes in your body, because the next time you take an antibiotic, those resistant microbes have an advantage, a selective advantage, and then they can grow and transfer their genes to potential pathogens.
It's interesting that the clones with the resistant genes still do so well so long after the antibiotics. I mean, I guess we're always taught that, you know, that the fitness of those resistance genes goes up if there's something to resist, and then if you take the antibiotics away, you might expect them to just dwindle away. But I guess that's not happening.
That's not happening, and we've done this. We've published several studies where we've looked at these long-term impacts. But you need to have methods to focus on these specific members of the community to be able to follow that phenomenon. And it does happen. It's scary that those resistant microbes can persist even when there isn't any selection from taking antibiotics.